Yo, what's going on out there? This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. We got another great episode for you all out there. Hopefully we learn something, find out some new info, whatever you want to call it, but that's what we're here for. We're going to level up. Hey, but before we do, we want to shout out Hindsight Media Radio for putting this whole thing together. Also, I need you to log into RyanHodgeBooks.com and check out some of my novels. There's 9 of them up there. A little bit of something for everybody. And if you can't find something for yourself, hey, maybe you'll phone a friend. And maybe there'll be something up there for them. Either way, we're going to get to the show in a sec. Later. All right, everybody. We're back from break. Thanks for coming back with us. Again, this is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. And we got a good show for you today. It's about overcoming adversity and what that means and some potential tips on how you can overcome adversity. On today's show, we have a special guest named Chandler Williams. He is a man who has overcome all sorts of adversity. And not only that, he's actually turned that adversity into success. We'll have an opportunity to hear about what he's into and what he overcame and how he did it. So just sit back for a minute. We're going to take another break and we're going to get to the interview with Chandler Williams, Overcoming Adversity. All right, everybody, we're back from break. Once again, it's the Level Up Show with Ryan Hodge. And today, like I said, we got my man Chandler Williams on the show. He's here. He's ready to break that knowledge off to us. Chandler, say something to the people for us, man.
Man, how we doing today, y'all? How we doing?
All right. Hey, man. The title of the show today is Overcoming Adversity. So, like I always do on this show, I like to drop that definition of overcoming adversity, or at least what adversity is. So,
give it to him.
So real quick, adversity. Basically, real simple, nothing too intricate, but adversity is just beating the obstacles that come before you. Adversity is a toilsome task that may be in your way. Either way, we're talking about overcoming hindrances in our lives, problems, and predicaments. So that's going to be the definition that we live by for adversity. And like I said before, Chandler Williams is going to talk to us about his adversities, what some of them were, and how we overcame them. So again, we're leveling up today, y'all. So stay tuned. We're going to rock out. All right. So Chandler, you the man of the hour. Like I said, we're talking about you and your adversity. So first of all, tell us about your adversities, or better yet, tell us about yourself, anything. But we're going to do the adversities, but let's do the adversities. Tell us some things you've been through.
To get you to my adversities, man, I got to take you back to the very beginning. Growing up, my mother, she has a rare heart deformity where her heart is actually inside out and flipped around. So what's on the left side of our heart is on her right side, and what's inside our hearts is on the outside of her heart. It has to do with the grand transvessel.
Okay.
So with that, man, we already didn't have much, and mama had to go straight up to the University of Alabama, Birmingham, every 2 weeks to go see her transplant team.
Wow.
You know?
Okay.
And sometimes, you know, being a single mom, I gotta make that trip with her.
Definitely.
I couldn't go to school like that.
Definitely.
So when I did get to school, you know, I tried to study, but it wasn't fitting me at that time.
Yeah.
I didn't really see it, you know what I mean? And that was one of my biggest withdrawals that I held to myself, was my education in my younger years.
Yeah.
But I realized that, man, and you know, you had to make a change and better yourself. But so with growing up with mom, I mean, you see a lot of different adversities with overcoming adversities because of the culture that created. When you live somewhere like I grew up in a little Section 8 apartment out in Lexington. And when we got kicked out of there, we moved to Irmo. And when we were in Irmo, my mom met a man, and she did what she had to provide a place for me to have a stable roof over my head.
That's right.
And I'll never forget that. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it changed my mind and perspective on relationships and everything right then and there with that. But you had to see, man, it was a different upbringing than most kids that didn't have to go or see things like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so we started off, man, and you know, when you get evicted out of somewhere, when you're a kid, you don't even realize. You don't even know what's going on because you're living in that day.
That's right.
You're surviving through that day. You're trying to make it to the next day. And that was a thing that I created in my head was, well, if I got to be a survivalist, I got to be a predator.
Yeah.
I got to attack.
That's right.
I got to find a way to figure out my problems in life and make it better for me and my mama.
Yeah.
And so, but again, I'm still young. I tried to do a little lemonade stand, right?
That's
in the
right.
hood, got bullied. These like 22-year-olds came up and took my damn money.
Yeah.
From the lemonade stand after working all day.
Yeah.
And what I didn't pout about it, you know what I'm saying? I didn't go home and pout about it. I got up the next day and I made another lemonade stand at Seven Oaks Park. And I sold lemonade out of Seven Oaks Park in public.
Man,
you know?
See, that's so crazy. Not to cut you off, but just that's a crazy thing for a kid to have to endure, because that's a level of adversity right there where a kid has to worry about helping provide for his family and you're the kid. So that's some adversity that's sitting on your chest at a very early age, man. So good stuff. Keep going. What else? Okay. All right. We listening.
So, man, after that, we get into my teen years, and I was going down the wrong path. I see my mama working 2 or 3 jobs, and it wasn't working out forever, ever. And then the government came in and told her because of her heart issues that she wanted to stay on the transplant list, she had to stop working.
Really?
So, yeah. And then she couldn't get her disabilities for 2 to 3 years. She was fighting in the courts to get disabilities. So all of a sudden, we went from maintaining and managing to just dropping completely flat.
Yeah. You know? And not from your own doing.
Not from, exactly. It's somebody else. It's something else. And that's another adversity that everyone's going to have in life, man. Something or someone is always going to try to stand in your way.
That's right.
And it's the power within you and your decision-making ability to either say, hey, I'm going to sit here and let this affect me, or I'm going to get up and I'm going to get past it.
Right.
My mindset, man, you got to get past it every time, because when you sit here and you think about the past, you get stuck in that past.
Mm-hmm.
You get stuck in that day. And we have 365 days a year to look forward, to wake up the next day. Man, people wake up and they dreading waking up. That's the best gift God gave you.
Right.
Both of your eyes open today.
Yeah.
You
now
feel me?
Just imagine the turmoil that you're living in. If life being such a gift and such a pleasure in many instances that you're dreading waking up because you don't know what you're going to face today. And chances are, not knowing what you're going to face today, you at least know it's going to be a real cumbersome task to get through it. So it may make you want to not get up. Good stuff.
Exactly. So back to my story. So then I'm a teenager. I'm not doing the right thing. I'm hanging out with the wrong crowd. You know, I'm out when the street lights come on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, but I made some real bonds, and it got to a point where I didn't have nowhere to go. When I was in high school for about 2.5 years of that stint, my mom, she was tripping out on medications, and which wasn't her fault, because she's on a lot of heart medications.
Okay.
But my mom was a drinker. She's sober now. She's been sober for 11 years, man. That was another big obstacle we had to come through in our relationship.
Good.
In the healing process.
Good.
But she's been sober now 11 years. But back in high school, man, with she's drinking up almost a whole handle of Jack Daniels a day.
Yeah.
And mixing that with her heart medication, it wasn't my mom in that room anymore. You know, she stepped out of the body and there was somebody else there.
Of course.
And it wasn't vibing right. So I had, thankfully, I had friends, man, that took me in from Adelaide to Khalil. And like Khalil, he always, man, that man always believed in me. Rest in peace to the man that he kicked his own brother out, Mr. Hodge, his own blood brother out of his house in the living room so I could sleep on the floor there.
Word. That's love, man. I didn't even know that.
That's love.
Yeah.
For real. That's genuine love right there, man. And I never have a bond like I have with them boys. And that's another adversity right there, man. I don't even mean to be jumping and skipping, man.
No, that's what we're talking about, though. We're talking. This is a real conversation for practical people looking for advice. So it's good.
Exactly. That was a hard point for me, man. So you 18, and you get off the phone with really your brother.
Right.
And all of a sudden, next day, he gets shot walking out of his homeboy's apartment.
Yeah.
Has nothing else to do with it. He's just walking outside.
That's that example of the wrong place, wrong time.
At the wrong time. And you see, I wasn't going to listen to nobody. I wasn't going to college.
Okay.
You know, I had the offer for Alabama, all that shit, but my mama needed me.
And that's right.
I always felt family comes first. So, but my mom pushed me and she said, "Champ, you got to get out your comfort zone and you got to try it. You got to go see what you can do out here in the real world."
That's right.
And so I went out there. Mom got real sick. And I put my heart and soul into it, Mr. Hodge.
Yeah.
I had to work three jobs, right? So Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm working at a place called Taco Casa to open up. Then I had to go to a place called Tuscaloosa Burger and Seafood. Shout out Mr. Dan. Then after that, I had to go straight to Pita Pit and be the nighttime manager at Pita Pit.
Mm.
So when you working three straight jobs every day, you go in about 6-7 o'clock. So you got to start your day around 5:30.
Of course.
And you're not getting off until 4 or 5 a.m. depending how, if you clean that grill fast enough at Pita Pit. You know what I mean?
Right.
And during that, the whole time I'm still a full-time student doing classes on 2 days, 2 days out of the week.
That's right.
All my classes jam-packed on 2 days. And it was affecting me mentally because, like, I didn't get no breaks. I didn't get no rest. And it's a college lifestyle. Even to make side money during that time, one of my best friends, man, Dylan, I was throwing parties out of his apartment.
That's right.
Charging $10 to get in.
Right.
You come, yeah, and that was my, and that's how I paid my rent. Everything else had to go back to school and me being able to eat. You know what I mean?
I understand.
So it was, man, it was a lot, but I had to do it and endear it to get to this point. And boy, I'm glad I did because I feel like it made me a better person. But all of a sudden, I moved my mom out there. She came out there. She was, you know, she got caught up in a lifestyle here. And she came out there and she got really lonely, but then she got sick again. And she came back here and ended up having a stroke in South Carolina.
Hmm.
Yeah, man, it was her fourth stroke.
That's right.
And they told me full on. She's had a couple mini strokes too, but that was her fourth full on stroke. And she told me, man, that, well, she didn't tell me. Her doctors told me that this one she's probably not recovering from. You know, she was about to be limp on one side of her body. And so I had to figure out right then and there, I got 2.5 years of school done. Do I stay here and finish school or do I go home and take care of my mama?
That's right.
You know, and
so let me ask you this.
When you
made the decision, whichever way, maybe you're going to get to it. How did you decide? Or what did you decide first, I guess?
What I did was I looked in my head and I really looked inside my heart and I figured out, put a list in front of me, what I could do in Alabama.
That's
and
right.
What I could do back home.
Okay.
And I looked at both of them for one whole day. I gave myself a whole day. I don't like making rash decisions. I'm a great businessman. So, like, I try to keep that, you know, I try to keep that
at
all time, a level-headed, where I don't just jump into anything.
Yeah, any decision made when you're emotional doesn't normally turn out to be the right decision anyway. So that's a level of composure that we all need to have. And just prudence, really.
Yes, sir. And my emotions were telling me I had to go. Like, it's just been me and my mama my whole life. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Emotions is telling me to go. But my brain says this is a way out of here.
Right.
And if we go back to when it comes to the 7 people that I hung out with in high school every day, 5 of them are dead.
Wow.
You know? And they didn't get to make it out.
That's right.
Of him. And they always, man, I remember, I don't know if I can talk about this, but Brody. Brody was about to get locked up. And Brody looked me in my face, and he said, I'm about to go turn myself in. He said, but you go to college, Chan.
Yeah.
He said, you get out of here.
Yeah.
You figured out a way to get out of here. You get out of here. And so I always looked at college as my escape route when I was growing up. I do what I can for my mom. And once I'm in college, though, I'm gone.
Yeah.
You know, I got to do what's best for me at that point. But life, man, again, life throws you obstacles and objectives, and you got to work through them.
Mm-hmm.
Not around them. You got to work through
them.
Yeah,
sometimes you got to run through them. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
And you got to see that shit head on, and you got to do what you got to do. So I looked at myself in the mirror, and I said, I always got my mind. Everybody always tells me I could probably sell snow to a slope, mm-hmm. You know? So
yeah.
I said, I'm going to take a chance to go back. Right.
So I came
back home. Now my mom's at Help Sell. Right.
Okay.
So I don't have a place to stay.
Right.
First thing I did when I got back into South Carolina, man, I went to the gas station. On Piney Grove Road, the Exxon of Piney Grove, I walked in there and I said, look, I just got home. I need a job.
Right.
I don't care how much you pay me. But I need to do something to get my life in order. Straight off a six and a half hour drive, first thing I did. And they said, you can start tomorrow if you really want to.
Hey, said, listen. Thank you. Listen, so I'm going to cut you off just to spit for a second. So again, this part about overcoming adversity, when you made it back to Columbia, you knew you needed a job. So
So
your adversity was money, well, let's say getting back to Columbia. So what you did was to circumvent that adversity potentially, you actually were kind of proactive by not waiting until your situation was extremely dire. What you did was the day you hit the city and you know from an assessment of your situation, I need employment. I need money. So again, part of overcoming adversities is to have these conversations with yourself. What do I need to overcome my situation? So what you just said in that quick blip right there is what we're talking about when we're talking about leveling up, man. So we appreciate the insight right there. Now, listen, we got more coming. We're going to take a quick break, everybody. We got Chandler Williams on the mic. Give us a second. We're going to break and we'll be right back. All right, everybody, we about to get back to it. This is the Level Up Show with Ryan Hodge. We still got Chandler dropping that science on us, so we're going to get back to it. Let's go. All right, so we're still talking about adversity, like we said, overcoming obstacles, things like that. So we back with the same story. Chandler, if you remember where you left off at, keep talking to us about you got to the gas station, you needed gainful employment, and let's go from there.
All right, so I start working at a gas station, and anyone that's ever worked at a gas station, man, you know it doesn't pay well, none of that. So I have now a job, but that's all I have, and a car. And my mom, she was at Health South, and was working the late night shift up at Exxon. If you're not there by 8:30, they're locking the door. So I had no place to go. So I went and I talked to a really good family friend of ours, and he let me stay in his transmission shop on Broad River Road up top. So I'd have a bed, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
I had to clean the shop a little bit, you know, but I didn't mind coming home after work and cleaning because I had a place to stay.
Definitely.
So I finally have a bed now that I can stay at if I'm not, but 9 times out of 10, if I can make it, I'm there with my mom sleeping in that little chair.
I understand.
So I got this, man, and then a check comes. you put 60 hours in at a gas station, and you're walking away with $200, $300.
Mm.
And I looked at it, and I was like, there's more in life.
That's right.
There's more. There's more. There's got to be more. There's no way. I bought myself a Chrysler 300, but I'm looking next to me, and the person's in a Mercedes.
That's right.
You know? And I'm like, he didn't get this Mercedes doing what I'm doing. So I need to make a change.
That's right.
And 2 months, within 2 months of working out there, man, I got offered, man. That's the thing. It doesn't matter what position you have in life, any job that you have, you get that shit 110% because you never know who's watching. You never know who's looking. You never know who can change your life.
Right.
And I met that man in James Watts. James Watts came out there 3 times and offered me a job to come sell cars and took a chance on me. And I went out there and I got in the car business. And that's where I first started getting my whole business aspect was in the car game. And in 2 months' time of working there, I got my own place.
Yeah.
I got my own place now.
He's starting to level up. He's leveling up. People, listen to him. He's leveling up.
I'm leveling up. So I look at this, and I'm still looking at my car. I want a new car. I bought myself a new 300.
Okay. Right? That's right.
So I see that, and I'm looking at my house. But every day when I had to drive to my little, I had a little townhouse. I have to pass a couple mansions to get to the townhouse.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the mansions every day.
Yeah.
That's my inspiration every day. I want that. I want me a nice house.
Yeah.
So my whole demeanor is I'm making good money here. I was the ESP coordinator. So I worked selling and service for half the day. Then I went on the sales floor for the other half of the day. I said, I want more. I met a man in Jeremy, and he gave me an opportunity to come and run his mom and pop dealership. I took that. I took off with that.
Okay.
I was in the car business for a year and a half. And I thought I had the whole world at my feet at that time.
So, right. When you put it in perspective from where you were coming from, I bet you did.
Right. So I go, man, and I started learning about financial literacy and things of that nature, things that they didn't teach me in school.
That's right.
That will really help me accomplish my goals in life.
Right.
And anyone listening, man, if y'all can, pick up a book. Pick up a book. Read the day. I promise you it's not wasting your time. It's not wasting anything. It expands your knowledge and expands your brain activity. And, man, everybody needs to read.
Hey, listen.
I still read every day.
I'm going to cut you off. Listen. Now, this ties back to a show from last week. This is how you know it's truth, man, because last week I said people need to have better conversations and be into better things. And we often spend a lot of time with sports talk, social media, BS. So we're hearing it again, people. What we need to do is make better use of our time, because that's what I hear you saying. Read those books.
Yep, that's it.
Become financially literate or whatever it is that you're trying to pop off in. It's on us. Keep going, Chandler. I just wanted to spit that real quick.
So I ran into a gentleman named Mark Konat just randomly out to eat one day for lunch. And he started talking to me, and he brought me over to the Mason Automotive Group. And that's where I learned how to train new hires. And I started putting business aspects and what I was thinking into a man's ear that can make a change
right.
for the first time.
Right.
And that's significant to me because that's my whole job now as a consultant, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just give people advice, and if you can use it, use it. If you don't, we can always shake hands and be friends.
That's right.
It's up to you, though, to apply what I try to teach you into your methods.
That's right.
And that he took me under a wing a little bit. And next thing I know, I get a call to go to Texas Roadhouse in Columbia and teach about eye contact and posture to a waiting staff.
Yeah.
To a waiting staff, because they were losing out on tips, and people really thought they were very standoffish. They weren't giving their job 100%.
That's right.
And that's the thing that, like, as a millennial, they got to break. We have a lot of bad working habits in society right now.
Yes, sir, we do.
And we gotta do something to make a change and figure out a different way. But, like, if you give the corona now, if you're working, like, at that gas station making $200, right, Mr. Hodge?
That's right.
Corona hits, you get an $800 check every week. Are you going back to work?
You're not gonna make it.
Yeah, I'm not going back to work.
No. I'm not working at the gas station because this is my career dream hit. If I'm at the gas station, it's because I'm probably in an adverse situation myself, and it's probably monetary. So no way in the world, if the government's going to give me $800, there's no way in the world I'm showing up to Circle K or Exxon or whatever. No way in the world. No, I'm not going to show up.
Yeah, no way. They give me $800 a week.
Yeah.
So with you giving them an extra $600 a week, it changes the whole mind frame of they don't have to be predators anymore. They can sit back and relax and make that money. But the crazy thing is, Mr. Hodge, is the government gave out like $14,000-$16,000 to each person, but nobody saved it. Nobody invested it. Nobody put that away for a better future, a brighter future. They spent it in the moment. And that's another man thing that I'll be trying to teach these boys at the nonprofit is money management. Money management and your time spent. If you're spending 30 hours a week playing Call of Duty all day, but you want to be in the NBA, you're not making that transgression. You're not making the next move to elevate and level up to what your full potential is.
That's right.
And we gotta get that through kids' heads these days, because we live in a culture where every day you wake up, your parents tell you that you're great.
Yeah.
Your parents tell you that anything you want to do, you just got to put your mind to it.
Right.
Which is true, but you have to work for it.
Yeah.
You can't just wake up and be like, hey, I'm going to make $1 million a day, but then I'm going to sit down and watch some TV.
Right, and think $1 million is going to end up in your account.
And
unfortunately, without the right guidance, that's what somebody could fool themselves to believe, because all you got to do is believe that you can do this, even though you don't put any work into it, and you can have it. The conversation isn't as full as it should be. Yeah, you can do anything you want to do, but you got to put the work in. You got to make sure that's part of the conversation.
Going back to putting the work in, when it comes to putting work in, man, it takes you back to when I was at Texas Roadhouse, like we were just talking about. So I'm over there teaching eye contact, basically, and posture, and how to approach a table. And Mr. Musaf and Ikea and Dorothy, they ate there every day for lunch when Musaf was in town. He owns 3 True by Hiltons. And he came up to me and he said, hey, man, I'm opening up a hotel right here. Will you come and do the same thing for me?
Really?
And I was like, yeah. So I was like, yeah, man, I definitely will.
Let me ask you this. So tie this into overcoming one of your adversities, because it seems like you're coming up with a lot of opportunities. So how does that tie back to overcoming your adversities?
Because every opportunity is also an obstruction to your main goals in life. Like, my main goal, I didn't ever think I'd be a consultant. I didn't ever think that I'd have my own nonprofit. I didn't think any of that. What I wanted to do growing up, go to school, be a lawyer or a sports agent or a GM of a sports franchise, you know? But life threw so much opportunity at me to get me away from my main realistic goals into a world of I'm still getting satisfied, so why change?
So let me ask you something. It sounds like you're saying that adversities in one's life brings opportunities.
Every time. When it comes to that, every single opportunity you get will always come with obstacles. People get caught up in their daily lives, back to being creatures of habit. So if you're working at Applebee's every day and you've been there for 13 years, but someone comes and offers you a private chef job on the other side of town, you're less likely to take it because you're so accustomed to Applebee's and you've made that your home.
Right.
You know? So everybody stands in their way of themselves. When every opportunity comes, because I didn't know this, but right there, I was starting a business.
Absolutely you were. You were. Yep.
And I didn't see that. And I didn't see the steps. I didn't have a business license. None of that. you know?
That's right.
And that threw hurdles my way, because when these people go to pay you, you got to pay cash, you know?
Right.
So it was a lot. So I went to the hotel, and I don't know what I'm really doing. I've never been in the hotel industry before, but he just wants his numbers up. So I changed pricing, and then I changed the actual room pricing down actually $10, and all of a sudden they were getting 60 to 90% capacity every night.
Yeah.
So what we were doing was working. So he talked to a man, Mr. Chris. I can't remember Chris' last name right now. Sorry about that, Chris.
Yeah, we good. Yeah.
But he's over the Southeast Journey Stores in the mall.
Okay.
And he was like, man, I want to put all my cards on the table. We might be going bankrupt.
Man.
Yeah, they said, we got to find a new method or a new way to do something. And they brought me in there. And now I'm looking at trying to help a company stay alive, but I'm 24, 25.
That's right.
Like, and it's a lot. And I just went from selling cars, working deals, to now I got to strategize and plan new operations and new ways. And what we did was, man, we changed the soundtrack a little bit. We put different shoes. We put shoes on sale outside in front. So yeah. When you walk by, you just see a deal.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
So, yeah, you're cool with paying $20 for a pair of shoes if you like the shoes. You got an outfit at home. So little small things that people weren't taking advantage of, they started taking advantage of. They kept over 120 stores open.
Right.
In the Southeast.
Right.
Forbes did an article on that. When Forbes did an article, they were calling their parent company, Genesco, and asking, yo, what's up? How?
Of course.
And that's when I got my break.
I love hearing this story because it's a lot of promise in it. But one thing I kind of keep hearing over and over again is all of these adversities you faced, it seems like you've never been closed-minded and you've always been willing to accept the next better offer, because it sounds like you're saying it leads to somewhere better. So you keep churning the wheel, you never let go of the rope, and you keep finding yourself in fortuitous situations. So again, out there, people, part of overcoming adversity is to never stop, be relentless, and think outside
the
box.
Never take that dog out of the fight. Yep. Never take your dog out the fight.
Never take your dog out the fight.
It's all about what I try to instill in these boys every day and the motto that I live by. And that is, you got to be a better man than you were yesterday before tomorrow comes.
Wow.
And that's just like this podcast, man. You got to level up every day. And if you don't, then you're procrastinating. And anytime that you procrastinate, you get complacent. And complacency kills the cat, because you get stuck. You get in that mojo, in that rut, and you let your demeanor and what your past days affect your new days and the new horizons that you can achieve. You have to look inside yourself and figure out if you really have that dog in you. If you really want to be what you want to be in life, or you want to just figure it out on the way down life.
Yeah.
There's always different paths in lives. That's the beautiful thing about life. And that's what I learned in the car business. The best part of the car business is listening to everyone's story, because everyone has different objectives.
Right.
Everybody has different things going for them, things that not going for them, different situations. But it's the beauty is they still go through it and they're trying to better themselves.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it's a piece in that, man. And you'll be able to help someone who's trying to better themselves, and you feel like you better in your community. And that's what it should be about in the end of the day, is we should be able to help our community.
Absolutely. And it's funny you say that, man, because on this show right here, I often just use a lot of personal experiences to help teach people from what I went through, and maybe it'll apply to their situation and some of the strategies. So it's important definitely to give back what we can to help people overcome their own adversities.
And that's the whole thing about the Metro Elite, man, my 501c3. That's the whole thing. It's to recognize that we don't have the best situation right now, but if we work and we try to become better, we will fight through it. We will see a better day. They don't have to go through the same path that I went through as a kid and have to make the same dumb choices that I made. And if I could stop anybody at all, one, just one, I'm up to 64 kids in the nonprofit. But if I could just stop one of them from doing something dumb because they were like, well, what would Coach Chan do?
Yeah.
Or Coach Chan told us not to. You know what I'm saying? Then I'm doing my part again. And that's what it's all about, man. And kids have adversities too. I'm not going to name drop a player. But one of my kids, he's a 12-year-old boy. He's 13 now. But when he was 12, he just joined our team.
Yeah.
And he loved his mama so much, Mr. Hodge. I mean, I have to wait sometimes an hour to 2 hours after practice waiting for his mama to come.
Right. Wow.
He wouldn't leave that spot because he knew at some point his mama's going to show up. And if he ain't there, he getting cut.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
So all of a sudden, man, once we build that relationship, and that's another thing, man, a lot of people come in these kids' lives and it's for a year or a couple months, and then it's over with. They never see them. They never talk to them. They just think about them in their head. That's and that right. gets to them. And it makes them build shields. Makes them reflect when someone is trying to help because people come in their lives and help for 2-3 days and then they're gone.
Yeah.
You know? And that's another stigma that we had to break down early in the nonprofit. So, little buddy, I started taking him home. About 3 weeks, he always asked me to walk him to the door, you know?
Okay.
And when we got there, man, we were in Irmo Village. There was some not so nice people around the corner, you know, watching.
Okay.
So I told him, I was like, yeah, I'll walk you inside. Man, we walked to this little kid's door. His door is cracked open.
Wow.
So I tell him to get behind me.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
I said, get behind me. Let me open this door. He said, nah, coach, it's like this sometimes. And he opened the door from behind me, pushed it open.
Mm-hmm.
And his mom's straddled out on a chair. And with her straddled out on the chair, he just walked in coaching. Cool, calm. He looked at me and he said, just give me a second, coach. And he went over there and he put this grown lady arm over his arm and helped drag her to the couch and put her on a couch and went and got his blanket, which was a little tiny blanket. That's how I knew it had to be his, with Lightning McQueen on it. Mm-hmm. Went and put that over his mama so his mama would sleep good.
So it's almost like you're saying this is regular for him.
Exactly. And you know what's the craziest part about it all? He looks at me and the only thing he says is, will you help me with my homework real quick?
Wow.
So I don't get yelled at tomorrow at school.
Yeah.
And what do you say then? You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
You can't just up and leave right then. And that's when I knew that we had to do something. Right. And getting to understand the minds and what they're thinking of these kids is everything.
Of course.
Because no one takes the time to hear a kid out. You know what the old fashioned saying, kids are supposed to be seen, not heard.
Yeah.
And that's a big stigma in today's society too. And we have to break that. Because since we have to break that, the reason is because now you have this young, innocent man who's lived through this his whole life and hasn't said a word to nobody. And he doesn't know the difference if this is right or wrong because this is his environment. This is the culture that has been created for him to grow and to become a better man. And so you have him embarrassed at his mom.
That's right.
But also knowing his role like me, and that's when it switched and I looked at that kid like he was me.
That's right.
Because it was nice. I had to get when my mom's dad passed, it was hard on her. Hard. Every night, 12 o'clock, I set an alarm on my phone, and I had to go get my mom off the living room floor because she was just preaching, you know, the song, R. Kelly, You Saved Me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Boy, I'm talking about on the floor, wilding out with it.
Yeah.
So it triggered me, and it made me go back to when I was a kid and experience all those emotions again right there.
Right.
So I knew he was embarrassed. I knew that he didn't know what to do.
That's right.
But he had to do something.
Of course.
And then so he has those adversities going on, but I'm here as a grown man in this house with a drugged mom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got to tell somebody.
That's right.
And you know, that's the thing I got to do. So we finished this homework up, and I was going to leave, and he said, "Coach, will you keep this between us? Please. Please." And I looked at him, and I told him right then, I said, "I don't want to lie to you, man. I got to think about this."
That's right.
And he threw a little fit. He said, "Man, I love my mama, and I don't want to go nowhere, Coach. I don't want to go back in the system."
Mm-hmm.
That's what he told me.
That's right.
A little 12-year-old boy. And so now I'm in a dilemma, and I have to figure out what I need to do.
Of course.
Because I just started this nonprofit, but the nonprofit is to help the kids who grew up like I did out of low-income / Section 8 housing. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Give them a better outlook and a better perspective on life. But I had to. And I told him, man, we have to practice. I told him, look, I'm not calling child services or none of that, but I'm telling Seven Oaks.
Okay.
And when I told Seven Oaks, I came up with a strategy as soon as I did that. Cool. And we went and got his mom in the rehab for 6 months. I let the little man come stay with me in my house. And I took him to school. I took him to his practices. Let him go, you know, to the movies with his friends, as long as he was doing the right thing. And he's been out 2 years now clean as a whistle.
Yeah.
And every time she sees me, she just want to hug me because she thinks that but it wasn't me. Everyone looks to put anything on someone else, whether it's bad or good, right? So I might have a good day, but try to brush it off, be like, but it was Janet who really did it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But that's not the reality of the situation. I didn't go to rehab. You know what I'm saying? She went to rehab.
True.
She put herself through that for her and her son to be there with her son when she got it through. And I respected it because my mom did the same thing for me.
Man, that's love, yo. So she did that for her son and your mom's did that for you. That's love, man. So listen. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to get some more insight from Chandler. Let him tell us about some adversity and how he overcame it. Again, this is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. Give us a second. We'll be back. All right, everybody, we back from break. We got Chandler on the show with us here, and we're talking about overcoming adversity. Chandler, we got some more time for you, man. We're not letting you go yet. So if you can, tell us another adversity you lived through and how you did it.
When it comes to adversity, I mean, from everything from me being stabbed to losing my friends to my TBI, we can just touch on the TBI. I was in 10th grade, right? Coming out of the cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kids who don't make the football team, man, they play football at lunch. We ain't supposed to throw balls, but like, you know, it gives them a time to then be able to do what they do. So I was walking outside. I was walking with Rachel Price. This is all secondhand stories here.
Okay.
And so we walked up, and a ball got thrown and went through a kid's hands, and it was about to hit Rachel, apparently. So I just like grabbed it, and the ball hit me in my temple.
Right. Wow.
So, yeah. So, I didn't think much of it, and it was like, "Chan, you good?" And apparently, I was like, "Yeah." But as soon as I did, I went straight down and I hit the concrete.
Okay.
I wake up. I'm in the hospital over there at Richland.
Okay.
And yeah. Adelaide Amick was in my room with some Zaxby's for me, but I really had to use the bathroom. So I turn over to the side of the bed and I go to get up and I fall.
Again, like you did when you first got hit.
Yeah, I just fall.
Wow.
And I'm like, hold on. So I go to push myself up. All of a sudden, I fall again.
Yeah.
And Adelaide's looking at me and she's like, stop playing around. And I'm confused. So I'm hitting that panic button, the little red button.
Okay.
And I couldn't, at that time, my brain couldn't register to my legs to get up and walk.
Yeah.
Because I got hit in my temple.
No doubt.
And so all of a sudden, I had doctors telling me I would never be able to walk again. I wouldn't ever be able to write. None of that.
Mm.
At the time, Mr. Winkle came in there. And yeah. He was trying to be like, sorry about it, you know. And it put a drain on me. Because every day I had people telling me I wasn't going to live up to my full potential anymore.
That's right.
And I had to figure out a way to live up to my full potential. So I put in the work.
That's right.
Every day I put in the work. I had to go to a place called Shepherd's Center. By the time I got to Shepherd's in Atlanta, I was already writing again.
Mm.
I was able to do almost everything, but I still couldn't walk.
Okay.
And we couldn't figure it out. And it really put my whole mind in the perspective of, well, what can I do? And I try to limitate myself on what I should expect out of life. I should have never did that.
Okay.
And for about a month, I was giving in. And I was rolling with the punches.
That's right.
Finally, I looked at myself and I said, man, you gotta make a change. And that moment right there, man, since I went to Shepherd Center, I got 98.7% of everything back. I ended up getting a scholarship to the University of Alabama.
That's right.
And was able to go off to college and make a million-dollar business. So, I mean, it worked out for me, but that was probably something that, like, because I couldn't even go to Walmart, Mr. Hodge.
Yeah.
Imagine, man, imagine you're 15 years old and you got to use a walker to walk, and you're coming in there with your friends who, like, you know, walking, and old people will come up to you and just start harassing you.
Right.
Oh, you should be ashamed of yourself, and I'm just trying to spend time with my friends. You know,
that's right.
We live in Irmo. There was nothing to do except go to Walmart.
That's
right. You
know
what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it was little things that really ate at me about it. And I had to figure out if I had a dog in me. And I figured out I did.
That's right.
And I took off.
That's right.
You know? That was probably one of the moments that, and when Khalil died, pulling myself up, brushing myself off, and telling me I got to be ready for the next day.
That's right.
That's what it was all for. And every day, man, I worked my tail off.
Cool.
As much as I could.
So listen.
Every day.
So if you can, two pieces of advice to leave the listeners to the show with on how to overcome adversity. Whatever you think it is in your perspective or whatever, but just tell us two pieces of advice you give anybody.
If you're going to follow your dreams, follow it with a clear heart and open eyes, and make sure that you're actually not chasing the dream, that you're pursuing your dream. Make sure that you're putting in the work and the effort that it takes every single day to better yourself and to better the people around you. Because really, we all live in this community together, and we have to build the culture that we want to see grow. Second piece of advice, man, live your life. If life throws you opportunity, just know obstacles are coming. But you got to be able to put that dog inside of you and bring it out and be on attack mode when you need it. Other than that, man, stay blessed. Thank you for having me, Mr. Hodge.
Hey, Chandler, my man, I appreciate you for coming on the show, spending some time with us, man. Leveling up, man. The advice that you offered.
That's what we all hear, baby.
Definitely.
That's what we hear.
All right. Well, in that case, man, once again, I appreciate your time. I'm going to let you slide, man. Until next time.
All right, brother.
All right, then.
Thank you, man.
Yep. All right, everybody. You know what this music means? It means it's a wrap. The show is over. But listen, we're going to thank Chandler for coming on the show this afternoon, spending some time with us. Also, we want to thank Hindsight Media Radio for making this all possible. You know what I'm saying? I need you to do me a favor and check out RyanHodgeBooks.com for all your reading needs. Get those novels popping for me. You might find something very entertaining for you and your friends. Get at your boy on the website. Also, this has been Level Up with Ryan Hodge, and we out of here. Later.